if you don't mind. Plentifully means plenty for everybody else, not just yourself. So really the barns that he built that we talked about last night were unnecessary, but anyway. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. In other words, he's going to tear down the small barns that he has and build bigger barns. This is what rich businessmen do. They expand. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool. And so really, Jesus said that God said unto him, thou fool, or called him a fool. You know that in the Old Testament, God said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And Jesus taught us as human beings not to call anybody a fool. God has that authority. God has that right. And Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy towards such wretched people as we are, who often act foolish in our behavior, like this man. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at your right hand interceding for us. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, we individually, hopefully, and collectively, hopefully, confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. Lord, help us not to be foolish in our behavior and not pray to you and tell you the truth, because you already know the truth. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, help us not to be foolish in our behavior. And Lord, help us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Wash and cleanse our hearts and minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside, and fit us for your use. And Lord, I do pray that you would crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us, for we are not worthy, Lord, to be even called by your name. And so, Lord, I pray that you would fill each and every one of us with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. Grant me your supernatural energy, grace, and strength, your unction, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word and to preach your holy gospel, remembering tonight your servant who by your grace did well on this earth for many people. And thank you for raising him up so that, Lord, throughout my life, I have been free. And Lord, I do pray that you will help help other people to get free even tonight. Because, Lord, I was free to be set free by you, by hearing the gospel and being able to go to Bible colleges and seminaries that this man, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was not able to go to, nor any of his other preachers, and to learn more about you. That sadly was intentionally hidden from so many before us. I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, for they meant it for evil, but Lord, you meant it for my good. My heart is saddened for what my ancestors had to go through. But Lord, they meant it for evil, but you meant it for good, for our good, so that we could see this day and be set free by the gospel that we have heard, and set free like never before, free in our hearts, free in our minds, free in our spirits. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for that. And Holy Father God, as usual, the devil is constantly fighting us. The devil is mad at me for what I continue to do, led by you. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for that. And Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, even at this time. Cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people here and of the people out there. Lord, in churches and in ministries everywhere, I do pray that you'll give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Cast out these demon spirits and cast out the evil sins that are produced by these demonic spirits, hindrance and distraction, betrayal and sabotage, pride, hubris, stubbornness, rebelliousness, witchcraft, hatred, bad attitudes, meanness. Drive, Lord, these demonic spirits and these devilish sins, Lord, out of the hearts and minds and lives and breasts of the people who have it here and who have that problem here and who have that problem elsewhere. They are allowing the devil to use them to try to hinder your work. And Lord, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears. Some of them are not saved. Lord, open their blinded eyes and save their souls. Help them to see and hear the gospel and to truly be saved and not be a tear in the church and in the ministry, but be a blessing. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts from us in every way. Place upon us the whole arm of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. And Lord, I do pray that everything we do here tonight will be done for your glory, praise, and honor by your power. The power of your Holy Spirit, because as Leonard Ravenhill said, we cannot function without unction. And as you have told us in your word, it is not by might, human might, it's not by power, human power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So Lord, we pray that the power of your Holy Ghost would blanket this place and blanket other places where people are listening in and where people will listen. Lord, open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears and save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Anoint your holy word and speak to our hearts. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. As I preach in your hearing, why Jesus called a man a fool, part two. A sermon adapted from the great Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. I want to, tonight, as I promised you, to start out digging a little bit deeper in this passage, because as I said, this is a sermon adapted from Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Adapted refers to using mostly of what he said, but since it's been many years, and he's a different person, I'm a different person, and you're a different person, and this is a different time, I have the liberty to share some other things to help you and to help us today regarding this passage of Holy Scripture. I am compelled to do this. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe said about this passage, Jesus Christ told this parable to reveal the dangers that lurk in a wicked, covetous heart. And this is a big problem, by the way, in our society. I believe that we are under God's rebuke, Jesus' rebuke and chastisement. This is not all of the reason why, but having covetous hearts, being concerned about money and material things far more than what we should be. Caught up in the prosperity gospel. And every spiritual person knew, every spiritual person saw how vain and how foolish that was and that is. Even the great Joyce Myers said this morning, she was just with one of the ladies on in her ministry, and they were just doing the girl talk portion, and she told her friend that money and material things will never, never, never make you happy. Oh, she said they might give you a little rush in the beginning, a little fun in the very beginning, but money and material things will never make you happy. It's sad that some people who are pursuing getting rich, or in the words of 50 Cent, they die trying. They don't learn it on this earth. They only learn it when they get into hell. But wise people, they understand that. And so, as you read this passage, test your own responses to this farmer's various experiences. How do you respond to the wealthy farmer's dilemma? Here was a man who had a problem. Some would say a good problem, with too much money, too much wealth, too many things. If we say, I certainly wish I had that problem, we may be revealing covetousness and wickedness and evil and foolishness in our own hearts. If suddenly you inherited a great deal of wealth, a great deal of money, would it create a problem for you? Or would you simply praise God and ask God what He wanted you to do with it? There are perils to prosperity, and certainly perils to the prosperity gospel, and I'm adding that part. Wealth can choke the word of God in a person's life. Jesus said that. Create snares and temptations, and give you, sadly, a false sense of security like this man had. He had a false sense of security. He said as much. I have much laid up for me for years. I will take it easy. And just enjoy my riches. Sit back and drink a cold one and be and just enjoy my life. People say that money does not satisfy, and it doesn't. But it does satisfy if you want to live on that precarious level. People who are satisfied only with the things that money can buy are in great danger of losing the things that money cannot buy. This farmer saw his wealth as an opportunity to please himself. He was selfish, like so many rich people today. I mean, really, what are you going to do with $10 billion? Why can't you, since you have plenty, share it with others and make sure everybody else is all right? There are some men who are richer than some nations. He had no thoughts of others. He had no thoughts of God. Everything's fine here. We good to go? We good? Ladies and gentlemen, don't worry about it. The devil is trying to, as usual, cause some technical problems. How do you respond to the decisions of the rich man? Are you saying, now that is shrewd business? What a great businessman he is. Save and have it ready for the future. What a great businessman. But Jesus, and this is what you need to focus on, how Jesus sees things, how God sees things. But Jesus saw selfishness in all that this man did and said. Note the 11 personal pronouns of the rich man. And he said, the man was a fool. So we see in this passage that it is foolishness to be all caught up with this life and preparing for this life and fighting and fussing and gaining money and stealing and robbing to gain stuff, to forget about others, to be so small-hearted and so selfish that you don't understand that you have plenty and the plenty is for everybody. Not just you and yours. And not prepare for your death. And not prepare to leave here and go into the other world where you will be instantaneously poor, spiritually speaking. The world's philosophy is take care of numero uno, number one. But Jesus does not endorse that philosophy at all. There is certainly nothing wrong with following good business principles or even with saving for the future in case of a rainy day. Jesus did not encourage waste, but neither does he encourage selfishness, motivated by covetousness. How do you respond, beloved, to the farmer's desires? Are you saying this is the life? The man has success in his mind, satisfaction in his mind, and security in his mind. What more could he want? And that's what so many people run after today. They have medical insurance, they have property, house insurance, they have car insurance, but they do not have their eternal life insurance policy squared away. But Jesus did not see this farmer enjoying life. He saw him facing death. Jesus sees things differently. God sees things differently. While you're pursuing this, Jesus wants you to pursue him. Wealth cannot keep us alive when our time comes to die, no matter how much money you have. Betty White was well off. Bob Saget was well off. Sidney Poitier was well off. They all had to go when it was time for them to go. And you will have to go when it's time for you to go. When the bony finger of death, the grim reaper, presses your doorbell, you will answer. You can't send your grandchild or your child to the door saying you're not here. Because the grim reaper just reaches hand in there and grab you. Because it's time to go. He's not going anywhere until you go with him. Wealth cannot keep us alive when our time comes to die, nor can it buy back the opportunities we missed while we were thinking of ourselves and ignoring God, Jesus, and others. This is a wake-up call for some of you. This is a reality check for others. Jesus Christ made it clear that true life does not come from an abundance of things. He made that clear throughout the scriptures. Nor do true success or true security come by what you can buy or how much money you have. We hear in the news that very rich people, celebrities, are being followed, crazy fans are hunting them down, breaking into their houses. Some have been killed by deranged fans, and they have all the money in the world. And by the way, that's getting worse with the so-called woke DAs. This man had a false view of both life and death. He thought that life came from accumulating things and that death was far away, like so many of you today. That's how you think, that life is about accumulating things and buying houses and cars. For what? You can't go anywhere. You would not be wise to go anywhere. To do what? To sit down on your bed and do some online work? You don't need to look fancy doing that. I'm telling people to not do that while this plague is going. To get out of that mentality of having a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill that you owe money for, that furniture that you have in the house is not yours, it belongs to Bubba and them, down at Nebraska Furniture, and you will find out that it's not yours when they come and get it. You don't need all of that right now. You need to try to get rid of all of that stuff until you can see your way clear. If you will ever be able to do that again. But be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You need to sell that big old house, unless it's paid for in full and you're not worried about it. You need to sell your big fine car. You're not to be making payments on anything right now, because things are getting worse. When you go to grocery stores and you see empty shelves, or worse, they replace the empty shelf with some other stuff that you don't need. You better, as the old folks used to say, wake up and smell the coffee, if you have any coffee. Things are getting worse. So be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and do the right thing. Stop trying to keep going the way you were when things have changed. You need to probably move out into the country and buy you a nice little tiny house or ranch house, pay off everything, and get yourself squared away, instead of hoping for America to come back like she was, because that may not happen, my dear friends. I know you want that to happen, but it's never going to be the same from this point on, never. And instead of being in a line of 800 to 1,000 people trying to get a box of food that they pick for you, stuff that you really don't eat and you really don't need, get yourself situated where you can go to the grocery store and buy what you can for yourself and what you want by moving, by downsizing. And get into a house that is paid for, a tiny house, an RV, a double wide, or whatever, out on your own property with your own water. That's what I'm advising people to do, and I've been advising people to do that for the past 2, going on 3 years. On March the 11th, 1856, even Henry David Thoreau wrote in his journal that man is the richest whose pleasures are the cheapest. He also said, a man is rich in proportion to the number of things which he can afford to let alone or to do without. Let me read that last one for you. I want to share that with you again. A man is rich in proportion to the number of things which he can afford to let alone. Finally, dear friend, how do you respond to the death of the boastful, proud, and rich farmer? We are prone to say, too bad this, and this is exactly what we say, too bad this fellow died just when he had everything going on for him. That's how we talk. That's how we feel. That's why we're let down. We're not let down because the man is dead and in hell. I said dead and in hell. We're let down because, man, he had it made. And all of a sudden he died. His soul was required of him. And too bad this fellow died just when he had everything going for him. How tragic that he could not finish his great plans and finish out his great life that he had planned out, to just take it easy, because instead of sharing his plenty, he had plenty in his barns. But the greatest tragedy, beloved, is not what the man left behind, but what lay before him eternity in hell without God. You see how God looks at things differently? You see how Jesus looks at things differently? Maybe you need a paradigm shift in your life based upon what Jesus sees. You might be seeing what the rich man was seeing, enjoying the rest of his life because, and watch this, notice now, he was a farmer. And so who blessed him with the stuff? He didn't mention the God who blessed him with the plenty, but that's where it came from. It came from God. And what God wants rich people to do is use their money to help people who are poor. People who don't have what they have. The man lived without God and died without God, and his wealth was but an incident in his life. An incident, that's all your money is. An incident means nothing in the grand scheme of things. God is not impressed with our money. What does it mean to be rich toward God? It means to acknowledge gratefully we have come from God. Everything we have comes from God. We came from God. And everything we have comes from God. And then make an effort to use what he gives us for the good of others and the glory of God in the lifting up of Jesus Christ. And then make an effort to do that repeatedly over and over again while you live. While the blood is running warm in your veins and you have air in your lungs. One of the greatest sports figures since Howard Cosell. He reminds me of Howard Cosell. He has a big mouth and however he's very articulate and very knowledgeable about sports. He was in the news today, a black fellow, forget his name. He was in the news today telling everybody he almost died on New Year's Day from the coronavirus plague. He said he didn't think he was going to make it. He's rich now. He just really made it to the top. And he said he almost died. He has all the money he needs, all the insurance and everything, but he almost died. See, when it's time for you to go, your money can't help you. Your prestige can't help you. Your material things can't help you. Nobody can help you but God. It means to acknowledge gratefully that you come from God and everything you have comes from God. Wealth can be enjoyed and employed at the same time if our purpose is to honor God. To be rich toward God means spiritual enrichment, not just personal enjoyment. How tragic when people are rich in this world, but poor in the next world. My, my, my. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. continues. And so it was at the height of his prosperity, he died. Look at that parable. Think about it. Think about it. Think of this man If he lived in Chicago today, he would be considered a big shot, and he would abound with all of the social prestige and all of the community influence that could be afforded. Why? Because he was rich. Most people would look up to him because he would have that something called money. And yet, a Galilean peasant, Jesus Christ, the righteous, had the audacity to call that man a fool, which in reality, I must say, he said God called him a fool. I just feel led to say that. Now, Jesus didn't call the man a fool because he made his money in an honest fashion. Made his money rather in a dishonest fashion. He didn't call him out for that. There's nothing in that parable that to indicate that this man was dishonest, and that he made his money through conniving and exploitative methods. In fact, it seems to reveal that he had a medium of humanity, and that he was a very industrious man. He was a thrifty man, apparently a pretty hard worker. So Jesus didn't call him a fool because he got his money through dishonest means. And there is nothing here to indicate that Jesus called this man a fool because he was rich. Jesus never made a universal indictment against all wealth and rich people. He had a lot to say about those who were rich. It is true that one day a rich young ruler came to him raising some questions about eternal life, and Jesus said to him, "Sell all and in that case Jesus was prescribing individual surgery and not setting forth a universal diagnosis. Now, only Dr. King could bring up something like that. Only Dr. King could say it like that. You know, Jesus told another parable about a man who was very rich by the name of Dives. And Mr. Dives ended up going to hell. Now, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is the only time I heard of Dr. King mentioning hell in all of the sermons that I have read. So this is very interesting to me. There was nothing indicating that Mr. Dives went to hell because he was rich. In fact, when Dives got in hell, he had a conversation with a man in paradise, and on the other side, and on the other end of that long distance call between hell and heaven, was Abraham in heaven. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament, you will discover that Abraham was a real rich man. It wasn't a millionaire in hell talking with a poor man in heaven. It was a little millionaire in hell talking with a multimillionaire in heaven, Abraham. So that Jesus did not call this man a fool because he was rich. I'd like for you to look at this parable with me and try to decipher the real reason that Jesus called this man a fool. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus called this man a fool because he allowed the means by which he lived to outdistance the ends for which he lived. You see, each of us lives in two realms, the within and the without. Now, the within of our lives is that realm of spiritual ends expressed in art and literature, faith and religion and morality. The without of our lives is that complex of devices, of mechanisms and instrumentalities by means of which we live. The house we live in, that's a part of the means by which we live. The car we drive, the clothes we wear, the money that we are able to accumulate, in short, the physical stuff that's necessary for us to exist. Now, the problem is that we must always keep a line of demarcation between the two. This man was a fool because he didn't do that. This man was called a fool by Jesus Christ because he did not do that. How are you doing? Are you wise enough to keep those things separate and not get caught up with money and material things and make sure your focus is on God and Jesus? Do you even know Jesus Christ as your Savior is the question. Have you been born again? Are you saved? If not, dear friend, here's how you can be saved even tonight, so that you will be able to start living aright. And nobody can straighten your life out like Jesus Christ. So if you do not know Him as your Savior, God, Jesus, Dr. King, and I would like for you to believe in Him even tonight more than anything in the world. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Jesus Christ never sinned in word, thought, or deed, but we have. We have told lies. We have stolen things. My wife admitted to me tonight and confessed that she stole my cashews on last night. I believe she only confessed because my baby daughter caught her. But she's not the only one who has stolen things. And yes, even in the family, if you don't ask and you don't let people know, particularly if you don't have that kind of relationship, that you took something from them, you stole it. That's why she was compelled, she was moved to apologize and admit she stole my cashews. Have you stolen anything? I have in the past. We have lied, all of us have lied, all of us have stolen things, all of us have lusted after people and things, coveted after people and things. We have dishonored our parents, disobeyed our parents. Some children have betrayed their parents and have sabotaged their own parents. Some of us, if not all of us, have taken God's name in vain, cursing under our breath, using God's name. That's just five of the Ten Commandments that we have broken. Should I go on? How about adultery? We all have broken God's Ten Commandments and we're guilty and we deserve to go to hell for our sins. That's how bad sin is, by the way. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. We don't die because of cancer. We don't die because of the coronavirus. Even though these things are terrible, they're bad. We don't die because of a car crash. We die because of our sinful nature and our sinful choices. And the wages of sin is death. Our bodies will go to a grave one day of some kind. And then, of course, our soul will go to hell immediately, just like the rich man Jesus Christ was talking about, and Dr. Martin Luther King was talking about in that message, Mr. Davies. He died, and the Bible says he opened his eyes in the torments of hell. So thirdly, and that leads me to my third point, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, in one of his most powerful sermons on hell, for he preached more on hell than anybody else in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven, because hell is a real place. And he wants you to know that, and that he didn't come to die on a cruel cross and be humiliated before the world and suffer and bleed and die and was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God for nothing. He came to save your soul from where Mr. Davies is today in hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands, or 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Hell is a very real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. Hell is bad news. But dear friend, I have some good news for you. You do not have to die and go to where Mr. Davies is in hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life," that is, in heaven. So, dear friend, all you have to do is do what Jesus Christ told you to do. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to save your soul today, and he will. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on his name, for Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God and Jesus Christ, the saints of God, saved by the blood of Christ and the angels. And guess what? I have news for you. God wants you to be there. God wants you to be in heaven with him more than you want to be in heaven with him. Can you imagine that? Jesus Christ wants you there too. And they know all about your sins. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died as the Lamb of God for our sins. He paid our sin debt. He is the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God of all time for all of our sins, Jews and Gentiles. And all you have to do is believe in him and call on his name. If you want to be saved tonight, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in his gospel, his good news, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Call on his name and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase. Mean it from your heart when you pray it, believing in your heart in none other than Jesus Christ. Don't be foolish, acting like the rich man. Be wise and trust Christ as Savior and live for him. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge and I admit that I am a sinner. I have sinned against you. I have broken your Ten Commandments. And I deserve to die and go to hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. And help me to turn from my evil lifestyle and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith and become the Christian that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer.